Tonight we will observe the Lord's table together, and I'm going to be preaching on Christ wrestling with Jacob. That's an important distinction. It's not Jacob wrestling with Christ. It's Christ wrestling with Jacob. I've entitled this morning's message, "Behold the Lamb of God." If I said that this is the most important subject we could possibly deal with, I doubt that I would get much argument from anybody. I'd say most people would be ashamed to say, well, I don't agree with that. But what if I said it's not only the most important subject, but it's the only subject to preach on? Scott Richardson said, "A sermon without the cross is a mistake in conception and a crime in execution." I agree with Spurgeon when he said, if we limited ourselves to preaching nothing but the cross, it would be a widening rather than a narrowing of our ministry. Now, we know from the other gospel accounts that when John saw the Lord coming to him, he was coming to be baptized. You might think, well, why did Christ need to be baptized? Well, because he was identifying with us. We identify with him when we're baptized. He's my only hope. But in him being baptized, he was identifying with all of his people, one with them. And we read in verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith to everybody who would hear, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, this message is the message of eternity past. I don't know that you can use the term past for an eternity, but for lack of being able to do anything else, this is the message of eternity past, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This is the message for right now. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And this will be the message of eternity future. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Now that gives us some idea of the weight of this message. It's the message of eternity past. It's the message for time right now, and it's the message of eternity future. The Lamb slain, worthy is the Lamb slain. Now the word behold, John says, behold the Lamb of God. The word behold has the element of surprise, wonder, and awe. I hope that is the way this message is preached, and I hope this is the way this message is heard, with surprise, with wonder, and with awe. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Look in verse 35. He repeats the message the next day. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now this is a message to be preached every day, all the time. And with every message that is preached, this has to be the crux, the theme. Behold the Lamb of God. Now, by way of chronological order, although I'm not sure that that term could be used when we're talking about something that doesn't have the limitation of times, of time, but by chronological order, we have to begin with Revelation 13:8. Christ is called in Revelation 13:8, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, don't miss that. Before time, before the creation of the universe, before there was an angel, before there was me or you, Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You know what that means? That means the elect have always been seen in the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And the next time you ask yourself, why me? Here's the answer. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I have never been viewed by God in any other way than this way. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and the entire Bible can only be interpreted through this. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Why is there creation? Because of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Why did Adam fall? Because of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This is God's purpose for everything. This is the manifestation of God. This is the reason behind everything. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 for just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. Now, do you hear that? God's call of me or you has absolutely nothing to do with any of our works. Is that good news? Are you glad it's that way? Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now that's what this Lamb slain from the foundation of the world is all about. He saved us, and He called us. And notice the order. What came first, the saving or the calling? The saving. I was saved in the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Somebody says, explain that to me. I just believe it. The Bible says it. And I glory in it. And I rejoice in it. And I love it. He saved us. And He called us. And it didn't have anything to do with our works. It was according to His own purpose and grace, which were given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, the Lamb of God was prefigured right after the fall. Do you remember Adam and Eve? The scripture says, were naked and not ashamed. before the fall. If somebody in this room was naked right now, you would be ashamed. You'd run out of here. Why? Because you have a fallen nature, a sinful, evil nature. Nakedness was actually not an issue before the fall because there was no sin. Purity. But after the fall, Scripture says they knew they were naked. And you know what they did? They made a covering to try to hide their shame, made from fig leaves. God in His mercy came in the person of Christ, walking in the cool of the evening. And the Scripture said at this time, and I'm sure that they were stunned when they saw Him slay a beast. I have no doubt that it was a lamb, the Lamb of God, prefiguring the coming Lamb of God. They watched the first shedding of blood, and they were clothed by God with those skins. I said the whole Bible is interpreted by Revelation 13:8, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But I say equally, the whole Bible is interpreted by the first story after the fall of our first parents. Cain and Abel. Cain brought his best. Abel brought the blood. You know what the Scripture says with regard to Cain bringing his best? God had no respect for Cain or his offering. God had no regard for it. God had no acceptance of it. He brought his best, his works. God rejected Cain. Abel brought the blood. Now he knew the blood of that animal wouldn't satisfy God's justice. He knew what that blood pointed to, the coming Lamb of God. The Scripture says by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and he by it being dead yet speaketh. Abel would only approach God through the blood of him that was to come. And the Scripture says God had respect to Abel. And if you come through the blood of Christ, having nothing else, right now, your only plea is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. God, the infinite holy God, has respect for you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first murder. I can hear Cain saying, "You think your way is the only way. You think your sacrifice is better than mine. This is not fair. I don't agree with this." And I could see holy Abel say, "The only way God can be approached is through the blood of the coming Lamb. You can't come in your own works." I can see Cain growing red in the face, and he picks up a rock and bashes his brother's head in. Why? The issue was the blood of the Lamb. Now, there were many sacrifices in the next several thousand years, but let's go to Genesis 22. Would you turn with me there? Genesis 22. Genesis 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham? And he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now don't miss that. He said, We're coming back, me and the lad. How did he say that if he was going to go sacrifice him? He knew that God had promised the Messiah would come through Isaac. And he knew even if he killed him, God would raise him from the dead. And he believed that. That is why he took him. And this is very important. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. What was it going for? Sacrifice. The only way you and I will worship God is through the sacrifice of Christ. There is no worship apart from the Lamb of God. Verse 6, And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, just as Christ bore the wood of the cross up the hill. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? How do you reckon Abraham felt when he heard his boy ask him that question? Listen to the answer. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Listen to this statement real carefully. There isn't anything that you could provide that God would accept. You believe that? There isn't anything that you could bring to God that he would accept if it came from you. If it came from you, it's defiled. It's unclean. But God provides everything you need to be accepted by God. He provides. And he provides for himself. For God to do something for me or you, he first had to do something for himself in order for him to accept somebody like me or you. And he provided the lamb for himself. And thank God he provided himself as the lamb. He is the lamb that he provided. Some 400 years later, there were many lambs that were slain, thousands during the next 400 years. And then we have the night of the Passover. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 12. There's not a more important passage of Scripture in all the Word of God than the Passover. Exodus 12, 13. Paul said the gospel was how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, according to the Passover. Now, what took place in the Passover? The Lord said, you take a lamb without blemish and without spot and watch it. Watch it for 2 weeks. Make sure there's no blemish and no spot. And then you take that lamb and you slay that lamb and you take the blood of that lamb upon and put it on the lintel and posts of the door you're staying in. And you eat all of that lamb. What does God say? I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt. And I'm going to destroy the firstborn. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, I like to think of those houses. There were some people who had full assurance. There were some people who were scared to death, trembling at the thought. Question. Were the people with full assurance any more secure than the people who were trembling in fear? No. You see, the security was the blood. What about someone who that very day had committed some horrible, atrocious sin? If he was in the house with the blood over the door, was he safe? Absolutely. I want you to hear all the implications behind that. His safety was in the blood. Who had to see the blood? God said, when I see the blood, not when you see it. As a matter of fact, if you were in the house, you couldn't see it. You had to believe it was there, but you couldn't see it. God said, when I see the blood. What was God looking for? When I see your sincerity, when I see your efforts, when I see your good intentions, when I see your changed life, when I see what? The blood. I will pass over you. That's the success of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he shed his blood, everybody he shed his blood for was saved. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now let's go another 500 years during the writings of Isaiah. Behold the lamb of Isaiah 53. As the sheep before her shears is dumb, so openeth he not his mouth. Why this silence? Why did the Lord not defend himself in that mock, unjust trial? Why this silence? Because he was guilty. I think of that scripture in Romans 3, that every mouth might be stopped and all the world stand guilty for God. He took my sin and he became guilty of the commission of that sin. No, he didn't sin in himself, you know that. But when my sin became his sin, and he owned it as his sin, he became guilty of that sin, and his mouth was stopped before God. That's why he didn't defend himself. He actually became guilty of my sin. The innocent lamb was no longer innocent. And this is the great mystery of godliness, how God can be just and justify the ungodly. Behold, the Lamb of God, of God's providing. This is God's Lamb. This is God the Lamb. Behold him as he approaches John the Baptist. Behold God's Lamb. Every one of those lambs sacrificed in the Old Testament pointed to this Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. Just as the Passover lamb was watched for 14 days to make sure there was no blemish, he walked upon this earth 33 years without blemish. I love to think of his first 30 years lived in obscurity, working as a carpenter in a carpenter shop. And during that time, he never sinned. He kept God's law perfectly. He entered his 3 years of public ministry, and he never sinned. Men hated him. He was given an unjust trial, beaten and tortured. Pilate brings him out before the crowd. Behold the man with the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Behold the man, the Lamb of God. He's taken to a cross, flung down on the ground, nails driven through his hands and feet as the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God must suffer and die. The cross is raised up and placed in the stand, and there he hangs. Hear his words. The Lamb of God, Father, forgive them. Beloved, that was not a generic prayer. Everybody he prayed for was forgiven. Woman, behold thy son. Behold thy mother. He takes care of his own. Because he's the Lamb of God, he could look at that thief and say, as the Lamb, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. When God sent darkness over all the earth, I love to think about how scared everybody was at that time. What in the world is going on? They knew something was going on. They didn't understand, but there's one thing the Lord said from the darkness. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Because he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He said from the cross, as God's Lamb, I thirst. There's never been thirst like this thirst, as he thirsted for his Father. He bowed his mighty head and said, it is finished. Sin is put away. Justice is satisfied. I did what the Father sent me to do. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. When he said, it is finished, they were saved from their sins. And he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. They put a dead body I think of them taking him down from the cross dead. Lamb has to die, doesn't it? They take down his dead body, put it in a tomb, and he lays there for 3 days, dead. Graveyard dead. And all of a sudden, his heart begins to pump. His lungs take in air. He opens his eyes. The Lamb of God is now life. I love to think of him ascending back to his Father in a glorified body. One difference, though, that this glorified body has that no other glorified body has, he still has the scars of his death as God's Lamb to remind everybody in heaven there's only one reason you're here. You know, I can't conceive of this, but I won't even remember what it's like to be a sinner when I'm in heaven. The former things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. I won't remember. But I'll know this. The only reason I'm there is because of his scars. That will be a visible reminder to me continually. Behold the Lamb as he's preached. Peter said, you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish or without spot, foreordained by God, but manifest in these last days for you. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, I determined not to know anything among you save the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. We preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. Why? That's saying our works don't even count. I won't have that. That'll lead me into sin. To say that the blood of Christ is everything in salvation. Or our works don't even... I won't listen to that. That's a stumbling block. The Greeks. Why, that's not going to help me live in this life. This is foolishness. This is not going to add to my life. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and Christ, the wisdom of God. Don't you love to think of all the times the Lamb is mentioned in the book of Revelation? 29 times. 29 times we read of the Lamb of God in the book of Revelation. I love the way John says there was no need of the sun, for the Lamb is the light thereof. The only light you and I have is the Lamb of God. But what a light he is as to how God can accept me and love me and embrace me and see me as holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. How is that? The Lamb of God. We read in Revelation 17:14 of those who make war with the Lamb, and he overcame them. And it wasn't a hard battle for him. You see, he's the Lamb of God, God the Lamb. He overcame them. Why? Because he is Lord of lords. And he is King of kings. And they that are with him are called by the irresistible grace of God, chosen in eternal election, and faithful. They all believe. We read in Revelation 14 of the Lamb standing on Mount Zion with 144,000, with the voice of many waters and a great thunder and the harping of harps, singing the new song that no man could learn save the 144,000, which represents the elect of God. A vast number, but an exact number that cannot be added to or taken from. These are they which were redeemed from among men. The redeemed, those Christ died for, not defiled by women. They stayed in the covenant. In their mouth was no guile, and they are without fault before the throne. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. The only message. The blood of the Lamb. We read of the marriage supper of the Lamb with his wife, the bride, or clothed in fine linen, clean and white, the righteousness of the saints, which is nothing less than the righteousness of Christ. Now, in closing, would you turn with me to Revelation 5? Now, there are seven different scenes, visions in the book of Revelation, and they're given from different points of view, but I have no doubt that Revelation 5 is talking about the final scene. Revelation 5. John says, "And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals." Now, this book is the book of God's decrees, written inside and out. On the front side and back side means it's totally full. It's totally full. Nothing else. The book of God's decrees. Everything that takes place according to the decree of Almighty God. There is nothing independent of the decree of Almighty God. Verse 2, "And I saw a strong angel." I reckon every angel is a strong angel, don't you? "I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Yes, but look what he's now called, a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, absolute omnipotence, seven eyes, absolute omniscience, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth, the Holy Spirit, seven representing his perfection. And this lamb came and, what's it say? He took the book. He didn't ask for it. As the equal with the Father, he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. And here's what that slaying did. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. The Lamb of God. This is Joshua's scarlet thread that runs through every verse of the Bible. This is the worship of eternity past. This is the worship of eternity future. And it's the worship of right now. The Lamb slain. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. How can my sin be taken away? The Lamb of God. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for thy Lamb, the Lamb of God, the Lamb who is God. Lord, we ask in Christ's name, and for his sake, that every one of us may behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Lord, if we behold him, we have all the riches and blessings of your grace. Give us grace to behold.
his name we pray.